Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Merry Christmas. Hope you're continuing to celebrate this great Christmas season. The church is leading us through what's called the Octave of Christmas. It's the 8 days following the celebration of Christmas, which will end on January 1st with the celebration of the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, a holy day of obligation for us in the Catholic Church. This whole week is an amazing, or this whole octave is an amazing unfolding of fundamental, central truths that follow from who Jesus is, his birth, his incarnation, and this amazing deed that God has done in Jesus to bring us salvation. And I hope you're continuing to receive the gift. It's not already in the past, but you're walking through with the church during this time and being involved in the liturgical prayers. One of the great things you can do is read the daily readings from Mass. If you can't get to Mass, go make sure you read these readings. I usually go to the bishop's website, usccb.org is a place you can go. There's a lot of good stuff on the U.S. Bishops Conference website. A lot of good stuff there that you can browse and read, but the calendar of readings is right there on the right margin where you can just pick out the readings and meditate on them. I think it's very valuable. Octave just means the 8 days that follow the celebration of Christmas. And each day so far, as we've made our way through it, you know, began first with the day of Christmas itself, celebrating the birth of our Lord. Day two, to my great surprise, I mean, you can think about it this way, that the very next day wasn't talking more about primarily the birth of Jesus, but what we were given, at least in the first reading, was from the Acts of the Apostles. It was the martyrdom of Stephen. And it was a beautiful example of the first disciple who died just as Jesus said many of his disciples would die, being conformed to his death, being falsely accused just like Jesus was, who stood up against the principalities and powers that were at work and the corrupt leadership that was still present there and resisted the will of God, and they falsely accused him. And they stoned him to death. And just like Jesus, he forgave those who stoned him, and he offered up his spirit to the Lord. And the church is trying to say, look, you see this brother Stephen? This is who Jesus wants to make you into, somebody like him. Because, you see, this brother's conformed himself to the life of Jesus. He's a follower of Jesus. He learned what Jesus taught him. That's what it means to be a disciple, to come under the teaching of Jesus and to learn how to become another Christ, to follow Jesus. And that's exactly what Stephen did, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. And so in this Christmas season, what a great time to take a look at how we're living, to ask ourselves the question, am I really being conformed to Christ? Do I live and act and look like Jesus, you know? Am I ready to stand up in a countercultural way in the world that's resisting him? And am I ready to really be conformed to Jesus no matter what the cost? And then the day after Stephen was the church reminding us through the proclamation of St. John the Apostle, what's the essence of Christianity? What's at the heart of it all? The heart of it all is new life. The good news is that we who were destined because of sin and death to be separated from God forever and to die and to be subject to death are being given the offer of eternal life through the life, passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is offering us a share in what is his eternal life. So beautiful. And then, of course, yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and the church is reminding us of the real battle that we're in. That the reason we die, first of all, is we're subject to sin and death and under the powers of this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we see a character who's enslaved to it all, Herod himself, who is jealous of Jesus, an infant, a powerless infant from his point of view, but he knows he's envious, he's always seeking control. He does not want anybody to compete against him, to undermine his authority, and he's full of anger and rage, and the devil stirs it up in him, and the devil prompts him to try to seek out Christ and kill him. So he orders the killing of all boys 2 years and under in the whole region. You know it's the enemy. Jesus said that the devil's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he's after. And so we're taking right through this series of readings. And now today, what we're getting from the church is the exhortation again in this octave in these 8 days as we're leading up to this, the celebration of the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, which is, again, that's a Christological. It's a big word. That's a day of celebration of the divinity of Jesus. That's why Mary has the title Mother of God. There's a lot behind that whole story, but fundamentally it's not saying that Mary is the origin of God. Mary's the mother of God because she's the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is indeed God. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. He's the God-man. He's God the Father's only Son who saved us. So we'll get to that as we move toward that day. But today's reading is a call again by the Apostle John to say, what does it mean for us now to be followers of Jesus and disciples? And in this octave of Christmas, a great time for us to be totally honest with ourselves about who we are and how we're living our life. I'll read it to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and following. It says, Beloved, the way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments, right? To be a Christian is to know Jesus, to be a Jesus follower. And so John said, well, there's one way of testing if you really know Jesus, that is, if you know him and have a relationship with him and you really know him and want to follow him, is the question is, do you keep his commandments? He goes on, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we know that we're in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to walk just as Jesus walked. That's another good definition of a disciple. He is someone, a man or a woman, a child who walks the walk. That is, we follow in the footsteps of someone, Jesus. We live no longer, like St. Paul said, my life is no longer my own. Now, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. He died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. That's a disciple. How many people who have the waters of baptism or have claimed to be God followers in some way are literally just walking in their own footsteps, and they're not seeking to conform themselves to Christ and to embrace the commandments that he called us to live out. He goes on, Beloved, I'm writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And what's the word? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You heard the word himself, Jesus Christ, teach you. He said, And yet I do not write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you. For the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. It's beautiful. The darkness of sin and death and the kingdom of Satan is passing away, and the true light has come into the world. The only light that could dispel all that darkness is Jesus, the light of the world, and he's come into this world. Whoever says he is in the light, that is in Jesus, yet hates his brother, is still in the darkness. He's a hypocrite, right? Whoever says I'm in the light and I commit adultery, I'm a liar. I'm in the dark. Whoever doesn't want to live the commandments, whoever violates the commandments is walking in darkness. And he goes on, whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there's nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Friends, welcome to the world. That's really what the world's about, blinded in darkness, in a world that's declaring either there is no God. That's total darkness. It's complete denial of all reality. And you are subject, you think you're subject to your own freedom, but you're not, or evolution or something. You're subject to the principalities and powers of this world. You're under the dominion of darkness. And that dominion has been overthrown by the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming again in glory to judge that kingdom in a final way. And he's going to destroy it forever. And everybody who's in that kingdom, everybody who's walking under that dominion is going to be subject to the judgment of Christ over it, which means eternal destruction. Jesus is the light of the world. He didn't come here. It's not a game. He came here to die, to become a sacrifice for your sin and mine so he could destroy the powers of darkness that enslave us. And he's not messing around. He's shedding his light. And every human being gets an opportunity to see and catch a glimpse of that light. Only God knows how and how many times. But the question is, have you responded to that light? Because if you haven't, you're going to die in your sin. So what it means to know God is to become a follower of Christ, and to be a follower of Christ means to walk in his footsteps, and to walk in his footsteps is to do what he did. What did Jesus say? I do everything the Father commands me to do. Jesus lived the commandments. He summarized them in the commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. But he's also talking about the Ten Commandments. What are those commandments? Number one, I'm the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number three, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. These are the commandments the apostles are talking about. And more, you see them in passages. For example, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be sure of this, that no immoral or impure man or one who is covetous, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. St. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born, repent your sins and flee the wrath to come. Turn back to God. Stop offending God. And take up the commandments in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come and have your sins forgiven through repentance and baptism. Enter the church. Let new life come to you so you can begin to live those commandments. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or those who commit homosexual acts, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he says here in other places, he said, all of you walked in these kinds of things. All of us were subject to this kind of sinful behavior that offended God. So come and receive forgiveness. And here's the problem today. For example, it says the second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How often does that happen? How many people use God's name to curse other people? The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. What does that mean? That means you got to go to Mass. Almost 80% of Americans don't go on a typical Sunday, American Catholics. Not only Americans, I mean American Catholics. That is a direct offense against God and God's commandment. It's really, really serious. It's offensive to God. The first commandment, I'm the Lord your God, you shall not have strange gods before me. How many people are picking their own God today? How many people are saying they themselves are God today? That's idolatry, and it's profoundly offensive to God, despite what the world says. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The apostles teach and the church has always taught that it covers all sexual sin and perversion. Look at all the sexual sin and perversion that's being manifested today. Look, billions of people around the world, we've been involved in these kinds of things at one level or another, and these are being exposed and brought into the light so that we repent, all of us. I've known those kinds of sin. God in his mercy has brought forgiveness to my life and brought me into a new way of living. He wants to do that to you too. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.